I need no medicine. I need no doctors. All I need is Jesus Christ. He's all I need. He's been able to keep me totally, perfectly well. And my lovely wife up here, ever since she's been with me for 7 years now, everything she's had a need for in the area of health, I don't care what it is, when I've prayed for her, He's healed every one of them. Amen. Every one of them. So, I mean, I think of the times that she could have easily said, honey, I got this problem or that problem, or especially when she got that lump on her chest that time. I mean, I'd been praying for her, and God had been answering my prayer within a minute or a day or something. And finally, one day, she walked in, and she said, honey, look at this. And I looked, I said, what's that? She said, I'm not even going to repeat it. It's a growth on my chest. She knew what it was. She said, pray for this. So I reached up and put my finger on it, and I cursed it, commanded it to leave in the name of Jesus. Next day, she came to me again. She said, it's still here. I want you to curse that thing. Make it go away. I don't like that on my chest. Okay, so I put my finger on it again. I cursed it, commanded it to go away. The third day, she came up and she said, I want to know something. I said, what's that? She said, where have you sinned? I said, what do you mean, where have I sinned? She said, all the time before, you prayed once, maybe twice, and it always gone. But this time, you prayed twice, and it's still not gone, so you must have committed a sin. God's not hearing your prayer. I said, no, I have not done anything. I said, He's testing you. I said, I'm going to pray for it one more time, and I'm going to guarantee it's going to go away, but God's testing you. Does God test us? Oh, yeah, He tested. So I prayed for that thing one more time, and next morning she woke up, it was gone. She said, okay, I'm sorry. Isn't it real easy to, when we're being tested and we're prayed for, to point at somebody else? Bill, it's got to be your fault. Does people do that all the time? Oh, yeah, everybody, you know, they give air. But look at that. If you're involved in any of those things in the verse two verses and then at 21, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other kinds of sin, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I suggest if you're involved in any of those things in those three verses, 19, 20, and 21, do you need to get rid of that? I would think so. But it's not important unless you want to go to heaven. Somebody says, well, I'm young. This is what people tell me all the time. I'm 19. We'll quit doing this when I get old. I had one boy tell me that. He was 28. And I told him he needed to come to Jesus. And I said, you need to stop going to them wild parties and all the stuff you were doing. He said, I enjoy sowing my wild oats. He said, Mr. Sherman, one day when I get old like you, of course, back in those days, I was about 60. You know, I was really maybe 55 back in those days. He said, when I get old like you, I'll change. Then I'll start walking with the Lord. But right now, I love sowing my wild oats. 2 weeks later, he went to a wild party. Got drunk, had a Jeep, forgot to put his seatbelt on, run up on the edge of a curb. It tilted up real high. He lost his balance, fell out on the ground, and the Jeep rolled over on top of him and killed him. And he went into eternity, into hell. Can you imagine what he was saying? Lord, give me one more chance. Can't you imagine there's a lot of them doing that, Bill? Unbelievable, isn't it? Especially after you've just witnessed to people. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews 10, where we were there, in verse 6 or 7, 8, where it was. Then he added, look, I have come to do your will. He canceled the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Now, if God wants you and me to be holy for all time, then when we get saved and we become the new creature, how much sin should there be in a Christian's life after we get saved? That's right, there should be none. Just like these young boys up here said a while ago, zero. We are not to sin. You're not to see how much you can get away with. You're to do everything you can to make sure there is no sin in your life. As a Christian, Jesus came to pay the price for you so you can be holy. Is that what he said? Yes, he wants you to be holy. Verse 11 and 12. Under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away sins. Wow. What a job. I'm glad I didn't have one of those jobs. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of highest honor on God's right hand. That sacrifice he made for you, it was beyond my ability to comprehend. I cannot even, like I've said this many a time, but it's so good, I'll throw it in one more time. Today, before you go home, number one is, every one of you are going to have to sit down and write me out your favorite 100 verses. You got to write me out 100 of your verses. Tell me what book and chapter you find, and then write out the verse. And then as you start out the door, anybody that don't have 100 verses, I'm going to take my cat of nine tails, and I'm only going to hit you 9 times, not 39 times, but I'm going to take a cat of nine tails and 9 licks across your back because you didn't know at least 100 verses. How many of y'all going to come back next Sunday? The place is going to be empty. There ain't going to be nobody here. But what did Jesus pay for us? Did he get just 9 licks? Did you know they didn't give Jesus 39 either? You know, you notice it wasn't the Jews that done the beating. Who was it to give him the beating? The Romans. Were the Romans limited to the 39 stripes? No, they were not limited to 39 stripes. Only the Jews. And why were they supposed to limit it to 39? Because they thought 40 would kill you. Have you ever had just one lick with a whip across your back, young lady? No, not even one, huh? And you really wouldn't like to have that either, would you? Can you imagine one lick with a cat of nine tails across your naked back? No, you can't. You really cannot. I got hit with a bullwhip one time as a kid. I mean, I had a shirt on. Dad and I was out running up a bunch of stuff, cattle and stuff, and we had a bull that wouldn't go the right way, and Dad come back, whack, like this to hit that bull, and when he come back like that, that thing went right over and hit right on my back. Let me tell you what, that lit me on fire through a shirt. Of course, I screamed, oh, you know, my goodness. Of course, Dad, he turned to see what he done. Oh, my gosh, son, what did I do? I said, you hit me with that bullwhip. He went over and looked. Of course, nice big red mark on my back. You know, he's so sorry and everything else. But that's one little lick. One. You know, I can't even imagine if he'd hit me and meant to hit me. You know, what he could have done. But I can't even imagine if it had been the cat of nine tails and it hit me one lick with that too. And then if you add pieces of steel and bone and glass in the end of it, how many of you saw The Passion? You remember when they hit Jesus with that thing and it hung in the side and they jerked it out and jerked a piece of meat out of his body? Now the guy that played Jesus, we watched him. One time before they got the shields on him, the guy didn't know it, and the guy hit him with a cat of nine tails, and he didn't have the shield on. He said, you talk about hurt. They hit him one time, backed off, and go whap, and they thought he had his shields on, and he didn't have them on. He said, oh my gosh, you talk about hurt. That hurt. Also, that guy, while he was on the cross, was struck by lightning. Do you all know that? They were going through that. He was literally struck by lightning on the cross. Wow. God was trying to show him what it was all about. What would you do if you was there making a movie and all of a sudden a cloud comes up in a black cloud and a great big bolt of lightning illuminates the cross that this guy's on? I believe I'd be running, don't you? I'd get on my knees or I'd do something. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of highest honor at God's right hand. Verse 13 and 14. There he waits until his enemies are humbled as a footstool under his feet. Think about that. Meditate on what he just said. He's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. So what's he waiting on? He's given us the power as his sons and daughters. And he's waiting for us to completely kick out the devil out of the church. He's waiting. How much power and authority did the Lord give us over the devil and his demons? That's what he said, wasn't it? They even have to be subject to us in the name of Jesus. That's written in the book. And do you know, I get these kind of emails all the time. Can you show me just one scripture that says that it's possible for a Christian to have a demon? Because my pastor says a Christian can't have a demon. I know. I went to my pastor when I first started learning about demons, and I asked him, is it possible for me to have a demon living in my body? And he said, absolutely not. So I thought, okay. So then first time a PhD from the seminary was over to preach from the Southern Baptist Convention, I cornered him and said, I have a question. Is it possible for a Christian to have a demon? Absolutely not. He didn't even have to think about it. Impossible. Can't have one. So I wasn't happy with that. So I went to the Lord. I mean, when you want a right answer, you go to God. He knows all the answers. Is that right? That's right. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I got to know, is it possible for me as a Christian to have a demon? I said, I've asked this pastor and his PhD, and they all tell me it's impossible. But I said, Lord, if your children had demons and you can't kick them out of all these people and they got healed of everything known to man when you kicked out the demons, I said, so what's making us sick if it's not demons? I said, I need to know, Lord, is it possible for me to have a demon? I said, thank you, Lord, for my answer. And it was months before he answered that. Months later, I was sitting there reading my computer and I was studying Luke 13:11. When I got to, I was reading the book of Luke and I got to chapter 13, verse 11. The woman that had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years and could in no wise lift herself up, Jesus come and said, daughter, your sins, your spirit of infirmity, you have a spirit of infirmity. You are loosed from that spirit of infirmity. And that devil left her and she was instantly healed. She was able to raise up 18 years. She'd been all bent down like this, 18 years. I can't imagine walking around like that for 18 years. That's what had happened to this woman because she had a demon living inside of her. Right there, when I read that, the Lord told me, just as clear as a bell, he said, son, you have one of those living in your body. Now, had I asked him, is it possible for me to have a demon? Yes. I come to the right place in his word, and he tells me, I have a spirit of infirmity in my body.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Command the Beast to Leave, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you pre- and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.